Good afternoon. I am delighted to be here to update you on the transformation that GBS is making and how we have repositioned our business for both revenue growth and ongoing margin expansion. And Mark has talked to you throughout 2012 that this has been a year of transformation for us. And what I'm going to talk to you about today is the four dimensions in which we've worked our transformation: our client relationship model, our capabilities model, our skills model, and our overall business model, and how those integrate with the rest of IBM. Now, before we get to our view of how the market is changing and our clients' priorities, I'd just like to start with grounding us on our commitment to our revenue and our margin expansion roadmap for 2015. And this will be enabled strongly by the repositioning we've done. So if you look at our performance along IBM's growth initiatives, it's been double-digit consistently. And this is important because it drives us and IBM to the high-value, high-margin space we've been talking about. Client relationships. There are no great professional services firms that don't also have great client relationships. So we're doubling our skills on our core client relationships. And then finally, these new markets require very different sets of skills and capabilities, as you've listened to how they're evolving this morning. And we're going even deeper in our relationship with Software Group and IBM Research to build these capabilities and to take them to our clients in these segments. When we look at our clients, and you've heard this a lot from my colleagues this morning, you've heard a lot about our capabilities. And you can start to think about the world in terms of how our clients drive change, how they drive transformation and use services as a world transformed by data, which you've heard a lot about. So think about the fact that every decision maker, every CXO, every mayor, every official is figuring out how to use data and do their jobs with more data. They are all adapting to a world of greater personalization, greater transparency, much deeper employee and customer engagement, and a world where brand and culture start to intersect. We've used the word front office transformation to capture this category, and Ginny mentioned this morning. This idea of front office transformation spans these two sets of capabilities you see on this chart in front of you. First is the data-driven transformation in the front office. This digital part of data transformation is all of the markets you heard Mike and Robert talk about: mobile, social, interactive, smarter commerce and analytics, all corresponding to the expectations of customers and citizens. This market is much smaller. It's about a quarter of the consulting market, but it's growing at about 7% per annum. And it's new sets of capabilities, so obviously high value and high margin for us. On the right, critically important, the mandate for global integration. All our clients have to merge these new front office capabilities with their physical enterprise applications and processes. This is the basis for all the modernization work that we've been doing with SAP, AMS, and our more traditional portfolio. It's by far the bigger market category, but it's only growing at about 1%, the size of the market. Now, the point here is that these two sets of priorities, the enterprise integration and the digital front office, are really two sides of the same coin, the same client agenda, the same decision process. Think about it. A client might start with a desire to improve a customer facet of their organization, but they pretty quickly see that they can't find patterns in consumer data. They can't figure next best action. They can't get intimate with their customer unless they integrate their data and their processes end to end. So the decision to do one drives the other. And I personally believe, Ginny mentioned this morning, that this will drive the biggest era of transformation that we've seen since the advent of ERP 20 years ago. Now, how have we repositioned GBS then to capture these markets? Let's start with the digital front office side of the portfolio. And Mike called this out. The foundation started very solidly and strongly over the last few years with our leading business analytics capability. Both across IBM and for GBS, every external analyst rates us the top of all categories in terms of our consulting capability. But what we've really done now is aggressively added to that. We've expanded our smarter commerce capability, doubled our consultants this year, and will double again next year, as well as leveraging and expanding IBM Interactive, which is our top-ranked global digital interactive capability, very strongly recognized, and we're using this in a lot of our front office work. In mobile, just this month, Forrester rated us as top in mobile services. The investments that we've actually made in order to build this capability are pretty powerful, and we've actually doubled our capacity to address these emerging front office markets. So what we did is we shifted 40% of our strategy and advisory partners, skilled them, enabled them, trained them, and coached them so that they can actually go out and work this market for us. We have built, together with IBM software, global centers of competence. So those of you that were here last year, remember I talked to you about scaling our global centers of competence so we can leverage our talent around the world, the way Jose described this morning. We've done those in a joined up way with software, so we're actually physically blending the skills, the capability, the insights, and the solutions together, having a very powerful impact for our clients. And then our work with IBM Research. John Kelly and I are launching a 100-person research lab which is going to focus on these front office solutions. Very, very powerful in terms of our ability to bring first-of-a-kind projects to our clients. The second side of the coin, the traditional side of the coin from a consulting point of view, the integrated enterprise. Here we've not set still. As I've said to you, doing the high-value front office work requires both the new capabilities and the enterprise integration of data and process and operations. So the logic here is pretty straightforward for our clients. First thing is, they have to find productivity in their back office and infrastructure to fund this experimentation. And Jenny talked about this morning. They have to in order to build. Secondly, in this world of rapid customization, serving a market of one, infrastructure can't be the blockage point. It cannot slow the speed of markets down. So they have to move faster. And finally, in this world, everything that's social will also be mobile, as Robert said. Everything. So existing applications and processes will have to be reconceived, not just repackaged. That's a lot of process and data work to go mobile. So we've been working on this with our world-leading AMS capabilities, a lot of the work that Colleen has been doing for us. And what we've been able to do is embed these social approaches, the application build, the cloud capability, so that we're actually doing applications development and testing much faster and much better with our application assembly optimization. This has had a 50% improvement for us in speed and productivity for our clients. So just phenomenal impact for our clients and great impact for our margins. By the end of the year, we'll have realized another 30% improvement, with a $250 million total since we began this in 2010. So this is an area we're continuing to press on in terms of our AMS capabilities. And whilst you've yet to see the results of the work we've been doing to invest and transform our SAP practice and our Oracle practice, we are starting to see the early returns. Our signings for both these ERP packages increased and grew over the period of 2012, with a 50% increase in each of our core industries. And then this is a new one for many of you here, our globally integrated enterprise practice. So you saw Mark when he talked about Finance.2.0 and all the transformation work that Linda has laid for us. This is something our clients are absolutely enthused about. We did 400 briefings to top client management teams last year. And what we've done is actually commercialized our skills, our learnings, and our offerings so that we can actually consult to our clients and help them embed these capabilities. So you can see 5,000 consultants built into a GIE consulting practice, and over 300 of Linda's top people who go to market and go to work with us to deliver for our clients so that we commercialize and take the best of IBM's assets. So the net of our investment in transformation here for these new markets, you can see the impact. Strategic advisory skills around both front office and the globally integrated enterprise. Deep execution skills around software. Doubling down on our client relationship focus together with the new relationships we're building for new categories such as the CMO. And leveraging every asset that we have in the IBM portfolio to help our clients and to improve our margin. Now, you can see how this plays out when you reflect back to how Ginny talked about making markets and how we go about making markets. And we are seeing these markets being made and captured and playing out. So let me briefly talk to you about it. She talked about client this morning. So AIG is a fantastic example. Post the recession, they went from a very decentralized organization to a much more globally integrated, centralized organization. We helped them do that using SAP and working on their core finance. We extended our relationship to dashboarding, reporting, predictive analytics, working with the operations and CFO, and now have expanded into the CMO and CSO doing data and analytics with them for their customers, all the while pulling large software sales behind us. If I look at it by category, Centerpoint's a fantastic example here. We were three out of three, a far distant third in an SAP CRM implementation that they wanted to do. What we did is, using our CMO capability and our smarter commerce capability, we reframed what would have been a simple contact management system into a tool that could be used for client intimacy and better capability for serving and cross-selling their clients. The CMO and CSO weighed in, and we ended up reframing and beating out the competitors to win the work. A great approach for IBM assets and new categories, helping us win more traditional work. And then finally, think about it across the geography. And again, you've probably got a foreshadowing of this from listening to Jose this morning. In Latin America, we have many growing banks. What they're doing is implementing core banking systems. And many of them had started with just plain vanilla core banking. What we've done is worked with a number of them. A large transaction we signed that has a huge transformation piece. I can't name the client, but it's a large Mexican bank. Itaú, Bradesco, and others. And we're helping them take the core banking and quickly parlay it into internet capability and ability to propose next best actions to their consumers, to optimize the pricing of those next best actions, and to identify which consumers are most likely to buy, resulting in a 40% increases in cross-sell. So again, helping them move from a traditional GIE project into these new categories and leverage the new capabilities very quickly. So we're seeing this play out strongly in the markets. Now, finally, to Tony's, Tony raised this question earlier, and I'd like to really address it with this next slide. We are very confident of our multiple dimensions on margin expansion. So a couple of areas that I want to point out and pull out from the portfolio that we have. First, on client relationships, where we double down on client relationships and stay there, we have more productive sales efficiency and far better margin in delivery. So as I've said, we've doubled our partners and associate partners invested in our core accounts. In the growth markets, we've done this even more deeply, adding 50 partners last year, brand new partners, and we'll have 150 this year. When we look at the IP-based part of our portfolio and the relationship with software and research, we are taking this to a next level of depth. So I've talked about the centers of competence, but the other thing that we're doing with software now is we really joined up on the acquisitions. We identify them jointly, we find the services component, we place it in the center of competence and embed it, and therefore are able to scale both the license fee and the service capability. John Kelly and I, $16 million into this new front office centers for innovation and experimentation. And we're developing some really cool things. So for those of you that are nutrition junkies, a little camera that you can hold up in front of a shopping shelf, and you can look across all the cereal boxes and figure out which is the most green, which has nutritional components you do or don't like, and which has suppliers you do or don't like, and actually pick your shopping. Some very interesting capabilities that we think will help our clients innovate. So these two partnerships are essential to us in taking scalable IP to our clients. And this is critical. It'll increase to 50% of our revenue by 2015, and we achieve 2 points higher in margin when we leverage this portfolio. So this is where we'll continue to go. On the staffing and capability side, a couple of points I would make. Our globally integrated enterprise capability will be at 60% by 2015. Today, we're only at 50. So we have lots of room for leverage and improvement in building out this capability. The other thing we're looking at around in this area is globally integrated capability, not just at a skills level and where we put our skills, but also in the way we solution, the way we think about deal metrics, and the way we think about governance. So as we're building out these new practices, we're building the solutions one way, not differently across geos, and providing global structure and coaching across deals. Strong, consistent bid metrics for the way we actually deliver to our clients. And what we're finding is this is having significant impact on our win rates and our ability to deliver to the margin and on time with our clients. And in fact, in 4Q, we saw the early returns on our win rates. So to wrap, we are fully confident on our return to growth and on delivering our roadmap commitments. We've set the stage for our transformation of GBS, and our clients are in the early stages of their transformation in an era where information technology is business strategy, and where it's more important than ever to have continual access to the next frontier of innovation, the next great idea and leverage in the market. We've repositioned GBS to take full advantage of this, and we couldn't be in a better place today together with the rest of IBM to take it. So with that, I'd like to invite my colleague Eric Clementi from GTS, and he'll talk about the GTS side of services.
Thank you, Bridget. Good afternoon. So let me start by specifying what making market means in global technology services. Customers always have an option to do the service themselves. So making market means you have to deliver value. That value definition by itself moves over time, driven by changing economics, changing client agendas, and changing technology. So we are forced to innovate. We want to innovate. Cloud is just the next wave of innovation coming in that direction. And I'm going to talk about, in my remarks here, about what we are doing in creating value and how we are going to exploit cloud to deliver even more value and take this technology disruption with us. Now, let me start by positioning our roadmap performance so far. We performed ahead of our goal, and today we take our goal up to approximately $9 billion. We are very confident we can do that. What has driven the performance so far has been a mix of many powerful levers. We moved the portfolio to higher value. We have the growth market with a higher mix working for us. We have continuously invested in automation and IP in delivery. We have a superior delivery footprint. Last but not least, we have worked strongly on restructuring our portfolio where the portfolio needed restructuring. That will be with us until 2015. Now, what is going to drive growth and expand margins going forward? Well, for sure you heard that there is demand for more services, not less. The IT complexity will drive service requirements. I'm going to talk about what actually works very well for us in the growth markets, and I'm going to talk to you about how we are positioning our offerings in spaces that allow us to capture opportunity in the major markets. It is no secret that our ability to perform is in vast part predicated on our technology from Software Group, our technology that comes from SDG, and research that helps us on the leading edge. I will also tell you more in depth what we are doing on cloud. So let me jump in on why we think we are in a unique position. The left side represents everything Mike Roding talked about, Robert talked about, Steve, Rod talked about. To realize this business value and to position ourselves in that value, you need industry expertise. We have the industry expertise. But you also need to be able to pull together these technologies into systems that actually work. And that is what IBM Services is doing. There is also a technology transformation underway, which more and more tries to get the value out of the integrated management of IT, infrastructure, application management, and process management. We are excellently positioned in that, and we are able to commit to outcomes. Now, let me move to the growth markets. The growth markets are blessed with three very nice characteristics in the market, frankly. The growth there is not cyclical. It's driven by secular movements. Second point is, there is not a lot of legacy to deal with, so you can actually leapfrog. The third is you have customers and companies that want to focus on growth and look at who can enable them. This has worked for us. Look at the numbers. Backlog 11% up, revenue 9%, gross margin higher because of this content. Now, these business drivers are going to continue to persist. To give you an idea of the size and to relate it a little bit to what Bridget talked about, to what Ginny talked about, let's talk about CEMEX for a moment. 40 countries, leading cement company in the world, decides after the housing bubble crash to implement shared services. Now, the shared services are modeled after our GIE experience. We are going to do for them shared services in HR, F&A, supply chain management, procurement, IT outsourcing, AMS, process management, all of it in 40 countries. On top of that, we have committed to investments that we recover only against business outcome and that deliver additional value. Not many companies can master that footprint. Mobily, same pattern, where we optimize the existing IT infrastructure and we open them up in a joint go-to-market to deliver cloud services in the Kingdom of Saudi. Now, high value works not just in these markets, but also in the major markets. Now, what has been our focus in the major markets in the last 2 years? Our focus has been on portfolio profitability. We have shifted our transactional business to high-value offerings. Let me give you a couple of numbers. BCRS, strongly growing, strong margins, that's business continuity and recovery. We have a security services division, which is dependent to what Robert has created in the security systems division. We have invested in infrastructure consultancy. We have lifted that model. We have worked on low-margin outsourcing contracts. Actually, we have increased on this huge base, we have increased margin by 1.5 points. We entered 2013 with the best portfolio shape in years. Now, here the market is different. There is clearly a different growth profile, albeit with different countries. There is a huge legacy to deal with, and every new project needs to be paid for by freeing up capital in that legacy. Last but not least, it's a hyper-competitive environment that in the last years has been exposed to more cost takeout than value creation. Nevertheless, technology comes in, the business drivers are there. What we are doing here is we are going for industry value. We created industry value creation teams together with GBS, with Software Group, with research. I will give you examples on how that works. You heard Mark talk this morning about low-end process business. What we are doing there is we are taking Kenexa, the HR acquisition for our HR outsourcing business, and we increase the IP content in that process business. We do the same with mTORIS in our smarter sourcing business. Now, we see early success. All of those are basically new logos. FMS, Vert Management, is a government established entity in Germany that works on the fallout of the financial crisis, so manages the portfolios. We deliver IT outsourcing, application management. We re-platform to cloud, and we use our analytics capability for the many reporting requirements and analytical requirements connected to the portfolio. Let me talk to you about ULA, fresh and exciting. ULA is United Launch Alliance. It's a joint venture between Lockheed Martin and Boeing. What they do for the government, they bring together the two space launch platforms, Delta and Atlas. In this Delta and Atlas environment, we run the IT infrastructure, we service their application management, and on top, we created a center of excellence for space launch where we bring together their experts with defense consultant, aerospace consultants in our group, our research for smarter launches, and we use deep analytics, and we will try to apply Watson technology in this space. Very difficult to match value proposition, very high margin potential. That leads me to the margin. discussion and what the levers are that we intend to pull in this space. If you were here in the last 2 years, you might remember that I talked about our long-standing investment in a superior delivery footprint, standardization, automation, and pre-engineered investment. That is the base on which all of these levers work. Why are we so confident? Let me talk about delivery optimization for a moment. This morning, enterprise productivity, Linda talked about it. GTS is the major recipient of that. When you look at our cost base that Linda attacks, this is massive margin potential. Global delivery centers, we have room to go. We have a lever that we can pull for margin. We talked to you about global delivery framework last year. Global delivery framework is our highly standardized kind of Toyota production system model of delivery that has margin potential stemming from the extreme automation. So then if you look at the high value offering shift, that is pure margin and content that allows us to increase our margin. Now, to give you a sense of another lever, if you just take our growth market investments, I talked about the secular trend there, and I also talked to you about the margin differential. If I just extrapolate the margin differential and apply the same growth rate without any improvement, I just take the baseline and extrapolate it out. On this base, that is above $1 billion of gross profit. So when you put all of that together with research, growth investment, delivery optimization, we felt that if we didn't take our number up, you would have done it for us. So with that, let me switch topic and get to cloud. Now, Ginny talked about it this morning, and Mark talked about it in the remarks, and this is the report card that we give you. We had traction with 80% year-over-year revenue growth in 2012. We have 9,000 total cloud clients, and we are very confident that we are going to hit our commitment of 7 billion, of which obviously there is some shift, but there is 3 billion additional for us. So net-net incremental. We started talking to you last year about this kind of taxonomy where we say there are smart cloud foundational technologies. They serve mostly private clouds and hybrid clouds. This is hardware, software-based services, implementation services. We have more than 5,000 customers, over 100% year-to-year increase of private cloud wins. The Pure System, announcements this morning fall straight into this category. Now, I will talk more about smart cloud services over the next charts, but suffice to say, we have completed the build-out of our global delivery centers. We have more than 2,500 cloud-managed services clients and strong growth there too. Maybe surprising, because 2 years ago, that solutions piece would have been much smaller. That is where Mike Rodin's smarter commerce, smarter workforce, social business fall in. We have leveraged the $4 billion invested to date there, and we have more than 100 available offerings there. Now, let me talk more precisely about what cloud means for the services piece. You are familiar with the top part of this chart. It's a broad spectrum of offerings that we have. We range from consulting, project-based, single-scope managed services, strategic outsourcing, out to process outsourcing. And we told you over the last couple of years that we were using our technology, our research, to underpin the whole delivery of a vast part of this portfolio with smart cloud capability. Last year, I told you that Smart Cloud Enterprise Plus was the enterprise-focused, production-ready platform for outsourcing and shared services customers. This year, I can report to you, we have some exciting partnerships that we struck. AT&T. AT&T brings together, deeply integrates the virtualized private network capability, they call it CNE, with our Smart Cloud Enterprise Plus. What does that mean? It means that if you are on the AT&T VPN network, your data never leaves the virtual private network. Security is automatically integrated. You can scale not only the compute node and the storage node, but you can dynamically scale. You have a fully virtualized network service. It is aimed at the Fortune top 1,000. We go to market together. On top of this infrastructure, we agreed with SAP that we are going to deploy worldwide SAP Business Suite, SAP Business Objects in all five continents with a full platform as a service production service, meaning not just running the application, but having everything from backup, from management, from monitoring, from patching integrated for a production service. You can map the entire life cycle to it. Now, this is where Ginny this morning used the term systems of record. You heard the term systems of engagement. Systems of record, traditional IT to cloud renovations are where you put production level systems of record. Now, that is the home of the SAPs, the ERPs, and you see we are gaining traction there. Center, CTTI, Center of the Telecommunications Technologies, just to give you an idea of the size of these deals, 46 data centers consolidated into one, Smart Cloud Enterprise Plus, fully serviced by us, 150 million. Pretty sizable deals. Born on the cloud innovations, this is more the world where Mike Rodin was talking about software as a service utilization, lightweight protocols, high scalability, and I will give you examples of how these systems interact. Because where the real differentiation is, clients will have to cloud enable whatever they have, but they will also have to integrate this world, the new world, the born on the cloud world. Last year, for those of you who were here, I showed you that demo that showed what was happening under the hood of a production cloud with all the auditing, the security, the plumbing that was highly automated and that gave that huge advantage in terms of cost and in terms of delivery capability. This year, I want to show you a scenario of front office automation. So what happens in this case is a marketing company wants to take data from their sales and CRM systems and wants to integrate it with web-based data to understand sentiment and campaign data. What do you need to be able to do in this case? Be quick and watch this demo. So you need to understand the enterprise architecture, the web architecture. You need to be able to pull it together in a secure manner to accelerate the time to value for the entire organization. Now, the value in this world is there only if you can capture it. Now, here's our chief marketing officer of Big Outdoors, data specialist and the CIO, coming together to fulfill the request of the chief marketing officer. Chief marketing officer wants to take data from SAP, the CRM system, wants to understand how the campaign is being perceived out there in the web. And she wants to do it by in a way that is understandable to her. The data specialist goes up to the IBM Smart Cloud, utilizes the social media analytics portal. Behind this, there is SPSS and Cognos, defines the terms, the search terms, and defines the sources, blogs, product reviews, whatever. The cloud automatically scales hundreds of virtual machines, hundreds of physical nodes, all fully automated. The jobs start collecting the information. All of this in automated, integrated manner comes back to the raw data comes back to the analytics portal. Data specialist begins to put it together. The CIO, on the other hand, monitors the cluster health, has complete visibility of physical nodes, virtual nodes, jobs, deep level analytics on performance, and can in any time on the dashboard see physical, virtual resources, everything he needs to perform. This is the data coming back to the CMO. Share of voice, negative sentiment trend, influencers. Now the CMO goes to the portal, looks at the sales before, after campaign, can integrate it with the share of voice, the negative sentiment, the sources, the key influencers, and at the same time can see the verbatims and the discussion actually going on the web. Now, to do this, what needs to come together? Well, for sure, got to understand relational databases, non-relational, unstructured content, social media, blog, you need to how to access them, you need to be able to scale it on cloud services dynamically. You better have more than one technology. This is not just Hadoop. You know, data in flight, data at rest, understand insights, understand which kind of questions to ask, how to sort it, how to prepare it, and actually how to simulate and predict it. Now, this is a lot of technology. There's a lot of technology, and eventually it is usable only if you package it in a way and if you make it consumable. This, all of this is in a catalog. All of it is in a catalog, populated with templates. The images are predefined. It is actually highly, highly usable. Now, it lends itself to be delivered as a service. So where's the value to the client? Well, it supports the front office transformation, gives big data, turns it into competitive insights, makes it actually consumable, much faster time to value. Why is Smart Cloud unique? It combines the cloud enablement with the born on the cloud workload on an enterprise secure platform. It can pull together the most disparate information to get to that kind of insight that you need. And we know actually how to do it across the business. What does it deliver to us? It clearly opens new market opportunities for us. We can leverage our outsourcing base and revamp our technology. It drives greater automation, and it gives us efficiency for increased margin. Now, as I come to closure, let me revamp the main messages. First, value proposition is moving. We are moving with the value proposition. We have high confidence in delivering to our approximately $9 billion by 2015. Growth markets are working excellently for us. We are moving to high-value outsourcing, and we see cloud as a very, very significant opportunity for us. So with that, we think we are definitely positioned for margin expansion and profit growth.